Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, are you sitting down? Stand back up. It's your pastor here. This is our first service of New Year, so just give him your earth-shaking praise and hallelujah for the first time together this year. Just go ahead and give it to him. Yes, Lord! Woo! Happy New Year! That's so great. I know you're afraid to sit down again. You may be seated. It'd be fine. It may be seated. Before we get started, we have a TOT. We have a TOT. And it's testimony of today. And that is going to be our own Victoria Logan. She can't come on up there. You're fine.
I come up here because I want to see all of you. All. Look, this is my first time in church since the end of November. I've missed you. You are my family. I just want to thank you. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. None of it was little. Do you understand? Every thought, all the food, all the calls, the cards, it all meant something. Mm-hmm. Believe that. From my heart, believe that. When you are, I went through, a lot of you know, a lot of you don't know. But I was diagnosed years ago with what they call essential tremors. If you look that up, it's something like Parkinson's. That's what it looks like. But it's not. It's essential tremors. They told me it would get worse as I got older. It eventually totally disabled me. It took away. I had it in my head, my voice, and my hands. I had to leave my job after 40 something years of banking because of it. And I tell you, that was so hard for me because those people became my family. And I had to walk away. I didn't want to. I'm not a quitter. Octavia Simpson did not raise a quitter. But I came home, I retired, and I thought I was going to die with that disease. I got where I couldn't cook. Y'all have no idea if you lost the ability to use just your hands, what that would mean. It affects every area of your life.
Amen.
But that's okay. I wouldn't stop. I just said, I'm not going to stop. I wanted to quit the healing room. But I have this bossy friend. Y'all might know her. Her name is Brenda Howe. She kept telling me, no, you're not going to stop. I said, how do I look praying for people and I'm still sick? She said, Vicky, you keep praying, believing that God is going to heal you. And that's what I did. Y'all, 15 to 20 years, I fought this disease. The surgeon told me I had the worst case he'd ever seen because it affected so many areas. He told me I might can save the tremor in the hands, but I don't know about your voice. I don't know if we can say that. Y'all, they don't know my God.
Amen.
Cricket, they don't know him. On December 10th, I come out of that operating room. I was able to, not only was I able to talk, I was able to use my hands. My head was steady. You see me holding this mic. I had to have somebody hold the mic for me. Will y'all look? Look. I'm trying to squeeze 20-something years in 2 minutes. But I'm going to obey. I'm going to show you one more thing. I'm going to light it down. Oh, ye of little faith. I might show some nervousness because when I walked in and I saw all of you, I got so overwhelmed with emotion. I was so happy. I knew that if anybody would understand my journey, it would be you. So, I'm going to end with this. How can I say thanks for all the things he has done for me? Things so undeserved that he gave. He went and gave his life for me. The voices of the million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to him.
No, I'm sorry. Bless you. Love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 20 years. We knew her before she started the tremors. And then we saw her gradually get worse with it. And then when this came up about fixing her through some procedures, you know, we talked about it. And I said, I'd do it. Go get it done. I said, it ain't man doing it. I said, listen, man may be operating the procedure, but who gave him the knowledge and who gave him... God gives it. They didn't come up with it. Amen. Thank you. I knew it wouldn't be 2 minutes. I knew, and I'm fine. I really am. I'm fine. But let me say about Pastor Charlie. Pastor Charlie, I know he's watching today. It's good to see you, brother. Good to see you. And I know it's good for you to see us. But he is going home Tuesday. Amen. Another miracle. Another miracle. He'll have therapy at home, and but he walked. How long did he walk? Susan Wilson. There you are. How long did he walk down the hallway? About 34, 35 feet. Amen. That's a miracle. He's getting better, and one of the things that we share with each other, he asked me a lot when after the stroke that we had, and he said, how are you doing? I said, I'm getting better every day. You know, still going through things. I said, but I'm getting better every day. So he adopted that, and he said, I'm getting better every day. And I said, yes, you are. Hallelujah. I want to thank everyone for your giving this past year. You've been so good, so faithful, and I just want to say thank you for all the gifts and all your giving. I know this is a brand new year, but I just want to say thank you. I really do appreciate you and your faithfulness as well. I did not have the clicker. I looked for it, but I do not know where it is, so you may have to do it for me. But I have something to share with you briefly about Bethlehem. And I've been wanting to talk about it for a month, but I've been out about a month except for last week and for the surgery and everything, but we're doing well and all. But Bethlehem, Beth, it means house. Bethlehem means a house of bread. Lehem is what I want to tell you about. Beth, house, Lehem. And it comes from another word. The root word is also Lehem. And it means, just that word means fight. This thing just really popped open for me, and I'm just like, I just can't hardly wait to share it. So Bethlehem, you know, that's where he was born, Bethlehem. And the house of bread. And also it comes from the root word, the same word that says fight. So when you look at that, the bread of life was born in Bethlehem. He said, he's the bread of life. So I really realized that God is really telling us that when you go to the house of bread, you eat bread. You eat bread. He is the bread of life. So here's what came to me. We need to eat to be feeding upon the bread of life in order for us to be able to what? Fight. Our fight is not fighting. Our fight is feeding. Our fight is the intake of the bread of life. Amen? Now, that might not mean anything to you, but it means a ton to me. And I wanted to share it with you. So the bread, the Bethlehem is our fight, is feeding on him. You know, we sing about it. This is not my battle, this is his battle. But I want to talk to you briefly about the thing concerning being in our divine position. Thank you, Justin. Thank you. Good job. Good job. Great time. About our divine position. We have a divine position. It's a spiritual position. We have a physical position, which you're in right now. But being born again, we have a divine position. It is a spiritual position that God wants us to be in, and it will be appointed to us access to the things of God. So we can't have the things of God without being born again. We can have some of the things that he blesses everybody with. But our spiritual life comes through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. But this emphasizes God's purposes, and it emphasizes on releasing his provisions. Very key that I'm going to talk to you about, just hopefully briefly this morning, is about getting our divine position fixed to the place that provisions that we're supposed to have will be coming, will open to us. And I want to look at this verse. Let's see, is this on? Yeah, look at this verse. God made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Yes or no? Absolutely. And God raised us up with him and seated us with, he's not about to seat you. After being born again, he has seated you and I with him. With him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that this is the opening of your beginning to know your spiritual position. And we need to have this, and have it operating in us so we can operate from it, from that position. A lot of us try to work hard to get to that position. No, we'll never make it. We can't make it. Because who did the seating? It said Christ seated us with him. We're seated with Christ. Amen? Amen. Then we want to look at this next one. It says in Colossians 3, it says, If then you have been raised with Christ, if you have, keep seeking the things above. Keep on seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. Well, guess where Christ is? Seated at the right hand of God. Well, where are you seated? You and I are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. Yes or no? Yes. Absolutely. We need to make sure that our identity is fixed and we understand this is His doing. None of us worked to get there. None of us can work to stay there. None of us can work to remain there. It's Him. It's Him. Oh, this is shouting ground for anybody that really believes the word. It really is. He's seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then he says this, set your mind on things above. This word set means devoted. And it means to be zealously loyal. Zealously loyal. I have a zeal. This is what's set me. I have a zeal to be loyal to what He wants me to do. Set your mind. Be loyal in your mind on the things above. Not on the things that are on earth. Not on earth, but the things above. How much time does our mind really get consumed with the things below? Quite a bit. But he said, it's hard to think that, but he said your mind needs to be set. It needs to be devoted to have a passion about being loyal to the things that God said to be loyal to. Be loyal. It's not a casual Christian. Our walk with Him is not a casual walk. We can be casual in dress, but our walk should be passionate and full of zeal to think on the things that are above and not the things. Now, why is it so important? We're going to get to there in just a minute, but it's so important. Then he goes on in verse 3. Watch this. For you have died. Spiritually, we've died. And we died with Him. And your life now is hidden with Christ. So you're hidden with Him. You're hidden in Him. So the whole thing about this thing about being hidden, it means to be concealed by, I started to get some, I can't get it, but I thought I would be able to. Concealed by a covering. A covering. He said, your life has been hidden with Christ in God. So how does He hide us? I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Stephen, I've got you covered. So what should we be thinking about? He's got me covered. He's got me concealed. He's hidden me in Him, and He's got me covered. Everybody say that, He's got me covered. See, don't ever forget that. We have a tendency to do other things, and we're going to get there, but we have a tendency to that is good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, yeah, it's good stuff. But we need that in our life to be now and tomorrow and the next day if we're given those days. It don't need to be something, yeah, I heard that. Well, you might have heard it, or are you walking it? He says, set your mind, be devoted, be passionately devoted to the things that are above. So you have to think about what is above. But see, our position in Christ has to be operated. We have to operate from that. Because if we don't operate from the position of who we are in Him, then we will try to work things out on our own. Give me your hand if you've tried to do that before and it didn't work out. Okay, we got a lot of honest people today. I really do appreciate that. So my question to you is this. What is your position? What's the condition of your position? Not are you this, but are you living this out? Are you living this? Or do you just know this? Once again, it's not knowing this truth. It is becoming, it's not knowledge, it is becoming one. That word know in there is to become one with this truth to be able to be free. Freedom comes when you become one with it, not because you have a knowledge of it. You understand? Well, yeah, I've heard that. Well, you, like I said, you've heard it, and you may remember it. But has it changed your life? Has it changed the way you live? Has your mindset changed? Does your mind even have a passion to fulfill what God wants you to fulfill? What God wants to do in you and through you. So let's look at this thing about our position. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, I don't have it on there, that Paul was talking about, so you guys are walking like mere men. And that thing about mere men, he said, you're walking like men who have no divine appointment in your life at all. You're just a man, unredeemed. He said, and he's talking to believers. He said, you're not to walk like mere men. You're not to walk just, okay, the walking of your life is just like, oh, just like everybody else with no godly influence operating in your life, nothing of God governing your life. See, it needs to govern our life. He said, you walk like me. He goes on in that passage and he says, the reason you're walking like that is because you've got jealousy, strife, pride, and conceit. Jealousy, pride, jealousy, and then you have conceit. You're conceited. Well, look who I am. Well, it's almost like saying, I'm a self-made man. Yeah, you look it. If you made yourself, you sort of look it. You know, but see, we're not to make ourselves. He makes us. He made us to sit. We didn't knock on the door and say, let me in. I want to sit down. I'm tired. No. We entered into him and he says, I got somewhere to take you. And spiritually, we are there right now. Spiritually, we are there right now. Seated with him in the heavenlies. Yet we're here in these earthly bodies talking about how good he really, really is. See, man did not come up with this. God did. God did. And he said, and not only that, he said, but I've hidden you. But we are inclined to, well, here's what we're inclined to do. We're inclined to the visible. I want you to look around. Just look at people around you. We're inclined to the visible. We're inclined to follow our five senses. What are they? See, hear, smell, taste, and feel. So we're inclined to, we have them. Who gave them to us? God did. God did. But they are not to rule us. We need to submit everything that we have to God. Because you may hear things that are not from him. You may see things that are not from him. You may smell things that are not from him. Y'all behave. You know, you may feel things that are not from him. That's the reason we have to have all of our senses to be influenced by the divine position. Nothing wrong with them. Your emotions, there's nothing wrong with your emotions, but you can't let your emotions rule you. Or any of these other five, you can't make it rule you. So we have these things and we're stuck a lot of times on the visible. We're stuck on the visible, not the invisible. Actually, Israel had a problem. Moses was talking to God, and they saw the mountain, Mount Sinai, and they became fearful. And then they said, "We don't want him. We don't want him talking to us. We don't want him talking to us. We want a God that we can touch. We want a God that we can feel. We want to make a God that we can see." You hear? And the next thing you know, he's gone for about 40 days. And what did they do? Well, somebody said they made a gold, they made a golden calf. No, it's a little bit more than that. They gave their valuables. They gave their worth in gold, their valuables, to put it in a fire to be able to melt it down to make a golden calf that they can see, feel, touch. Do you see it? So all of a sudden you begin to see God really wanted to relate. He wants to relate with us. But see, if we hold value to something over here, we will begin to hold on to that and begin to do things with it so we can serve that. It can be a home. It can be a car. It can be any possession. It can be anything. You know, God says, "No, I don't want you to have that before me." It's okay to have that, but that, you can't place that before me. No other gods before me. So our divine position begins to awaken us more to him. So let's look at this one, and we'll try to get out of here a little bit. But he says, "Therefore, do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. Don't grow faint. Don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, see, we're getting, how many of you are getting older? Notice I didn't say how many of you are old. Somebody said, you're old. And I said, no, I'm not old, I'm getting older. As a matter of fact, one member of this church called me old one time. I said, I am not old. I'm getting older, but I'm not old. And she politely said, you're generational. I won't tell you that was Gina, but anyway. But your generation, she said, yeah, your generation is showing, you know, which is okay. But anyway, he said, the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed. When? When is your inner man being renewed? What does that mean? Every day. Every day your inner man, your spiritual man is being renewed. Every single day. Who's doing that? God's doing that. So you begin to see this. Now, here's where we're going. It says, for momentary light affliction. I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you what God feels about it. It's momentary. It's light. And yeah, it could be affliction. He's not saying you're about to fall apart. He said, whatever you're going through is momentary. It is light and it is affliction. He's not denying that it's not affliction. He goes on, he says, momentary light affliction. Why are we having to have the momentary light affliction? Because it is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Not momentary, but eternal. Not light, but weighty. And not affliction, but glory. So what you're going through, God has said, what we're doing here, he said, he wants you to understand that what you're going through is momentary light affliction. Have you ever heard, this will be the death of me? You ever heard anybody say that? I'll never get out of this. Well, then you left a momentary. What God says about it, momentary light affliction. But that momentary light affliction is actually producing in you what? An eternal weightiness has value and substance to it, and it's glory. That means so much. And then he puts on, he says, far above. I woke somebody up, I know. So the shout is what? Say it out loud. Far above. Not it's above. No, it is far above. Far above what? All. Whatever you think you're going to compare to whatever he has producing in you, whatever you want to compare, he said, it ain't even close. It is far above any comparison. What I'm producing in you is far above any comparison. Any comparison. Oh, my goodness. Let's keep going. While. This verse is the very next verse after 17. This momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far above all comparison. While. Conditional. You see it? While we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the things which are seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. You want to hear the good news? The things that you see are temporary. I've been sick for a week. Temporary. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't have. It's temporary. If you see it, it's temporary. Look, if you open up your wallet and you got an empty wallet, guess what? It's temporary. Laugh if you want to. I'm giving you the word of God today. It is temporary. Look at your bank account. It's low. It's temporary. You know why? You can see it. And that's how the enemy tries to lure us in. He knows it's temporary. He sees it. He sees. He's not all-knowing, but he sees. He sees things. So the things that he sees, he'll remind you. Yeah. What you going to do now? You don't have enough food for this. It's temporary. If you can see it, it's temporary. Listen, we miss this so many times. We just don't let this absorb in us. It's temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I got a new thing coming. See, that's an eternal thing that I might not know what that new thing is, but it's coming. It's coming. I got a new thing coming. While we look not at the things which are seen. You cannot have, there's a lot of things that's going on that we see that we don't have the answers for. They're temporary, y'all. He says, don't put your mind on that. Don't let your mind start thinking about temporary things. Put your things on eternal things. Put your things on the things that he said that he would do, that he has done. Put your mind on those things. So can you see it? It's what? It's temporary. This difficult situation. If you can see the situation, it's temporary. Physical condition, it's temporary. That's what the Bible says, it's temporary. If you can see it, it's temporary. See, the enemy wants to delay us by confusing us and wanting to get our mind and our eyes and our senses focused on what we see. He said, that's temporary. I don't want your mind to be set on those things. What are we supposed to set our minds on? On the things that are above. On the things where he is. Seated with him. We have to understand that that he's not seen. He's eternal. Angels are not seen. They're eternal. Blessings, listen to this. Blessings are not seen. He says, I've given you all the spiritual blessings, all of them. You see the effects of being blessed, but you don't see the blessing. You hear what I'm saying? You see the effects of being blessed. Well, I got this. Well, this is the effect of him blessing you with an eternal blessing. It's an eternal blessing. I really need to close. Praise team, come on up. And I'll share some of this. I'll do more of this next week. You need to understand that in Hebrews, we'll just briefly touch on it, but that in Hebrews he talks about there is a rest for you and I that is still there. That Hebrew children could not enter the rest because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, they could not enter his rest. And he says, for you, you've got the same opportunity. But he goes on in Hebrews, says, but we have believed and we enter his rest. This rest is his rest. It is the calming of all winds. And it is where he has his provisions. So how can I? Well, you feed, once again, you feed on the word. And your fight is feeding. So you begin to say, I know this is happening, and I can see it, but this is temporary. But this is what God said, and this is where I'm going to rest. This is where I'm going to rest. See, that rest is to cease from your labors, your works. That's what the Bible says. It says when you enter his rest, you cease from your works. You don't try to work it out. You don't try to get your effort up and going so you can produce something. You think you can produce something that he says, you can't produce that. Comes from me. And that we're going to do this song, but there's a lot more I want to give you next week, but we're going to do this song, but I want to end with this song. So I'm skipping two pages. Y'all see that? I'm skipping two pages. But you begin to understand something. What they're going to sing, we're going to sing this song about, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Listen to these. He surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. That's Psalms 125:2. He surrounds me with songs of deliverance. He surrounds the righteous with favor like a shield. You're surrounded by God with a favor. So when he says, it may look like I'm surrounded. It may look like this temporary thing, but I'm surrounded by him. Why? That's our rest. When we're all fidgety, when we're all nervous, and we're all anxious about that, we are trying to do it ourselves. And we haven't entered his rest. Here's another one. It says that he surrounds you with, Psalm 103, he surrounds you with grace and compassion. So you're surrounded with grace and compassion.
God's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. I trust what he says. He said, unfailing love is surrounding you. And we saw earlier that he's got you covered. He's got you covered. He has surrounded you. He has surrounded you. Listen to this one. He said, you are encircled. You're surrounded by him. You have placed your hand upon my life. This knowledge is amazing to me. This knowledge is, another version says, this extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It's beyond me how he has surrounded my life. So we're going to stand up and we're going to sing this song and we're going to let this be a declaration that this is our resting place. Every new challenge is a new resting in him. Every new difficulty is a new resting in him. Every new bad report is a new place to rest in him. Stand to your feet. And now you begin to hear these things about being surrounded by God. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. Does it make sense? This is how I fight my battle. This is how we fight our battles. We rest in him. It may look like, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. I just gave you about 7 verses where you're surrounded by him. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. This is our New Year's song to him saying, yeah, this is how we fight our battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Let it be from your heart.
This is how I fight my battles.
Whatever you're going through.
This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. 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 This is how.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. He's producing something in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's producing something in us. An eternal weight of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just thank God. Awesome word, I tell you. My Jesus. I'm flipping over on the inside, I tell you. If I could cut a cartwheel and get away with it, I'd do it. I tell you. My Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I got to. Whew. My Jesus. Man. God is so good. I tell you, man. Just think about what he's producing in us. These little light afflictions, amen, that we go through. Amen. How many know I got a new perspective now? Amen. When I go through, I know what he's producing in me. Hallelujah. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I mean, there's great things in store for us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo! Tell you, my Jesus. My Lord. Calm down, John. Okay. Oh, good news. Amen. For our announcements, all classes will start back this week. Bible studies at 6 o'clock. And just a quick reminder, there will be a ladies' meeting this Saturday, January the 10th. And also want to remind all those that signed up for our CIT, please come this week to start at 6 o'clock. You'll be in the room over here in the nursery. And those that would like to take our CIT and didn't sign up, just come on out Wednesday night and talk to Mark, and we'll get your material to you, okay? And just a quick reminder, on Sunday mornings, we'll be having our coffee sessions over here. We have a good, great teacher, Lee Moss, is teaching on I'm Going Fishing, okay? Now, with that, please remember when you come in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings, let's respect the teachers because they're over here teaching, and let's keep the noise down a little bit, okay? Let's don't interfere with the class and what's going on because we don't know who's in the class that's going through, so let's make sure we honor them and respect them and respect the class so people can hear what's being taught without being interrupted with conversations. If you have to have a conversation, just go out in the foyer, and that way you won't interrupt the class, okay? Amen. Is that good? All right. Pastor Terry. All right. Amen. Is this what we ended on this song? Amen. Okay. Thank God for you coming. And remember this week that God is producing something in you. Amen. That's weighty. Amen. And it's glorious. Amen. God bless you. This is the end of the service.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.